Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to Pop Off. This is a brand new show from The Ithacan. I'm your host, Ethan Kaufman. Some of you might know me as the lesser co-host of Popcorn Premieres, who knows? Before we get into this first episode, I want to explain, you know, what exactly is this show? You know, what are we doing here? Basically, each week I'll be having on a different guest to talk something. Don't know what. Could be movies, could be music, TV. But whatever it is, we're going to sit down by ourselves before the episode, and we're going to make everyone's favorite thing a ranked list. Let's go. This episode, we've got the recent Best Picture nominees, pretty standard, just ranking them in a top 10 list, should be easy to digest. The guest will come on the show with me, and then what you will get to hear is a chill little low-stakes debate as we go through the respective lists from worst to best, talk through them. You know, why do we like what we like? Why is everything placed the way it is? And maybe get into a scrappy little fight about why my number one pick is something my guest just maybe doesn't care for. You know, we'll have some fun. Now that we're all set up, y'all know what the premise is. Allow me to introduce our first guest, Riley Friedman.
Hello, I'm Riley Friedman.
What you just heard is Riley Friedman.
That's me, Riley Friedman.
That's the voice of Riley Friedman. He is here. All right, so today we are going to be talking through the 2024 Best Picture nominees.
Yes, we've done this like a jillion times.
We've done this
so much.
We've talked about this so much, but we've never done it in a ranked list before.
No, we haven't,
We've
actually.
Just talked about the movies, like a free-flowing conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know your list. You don't know my
list.
And I think we could be in for some fun.
Oh, yeah.
Or our lists are just the exact same.
That'd be, honestly, I know that's probably not true, but it'd be really funny.
No, it would suck.
You're right.
There's no fun in that. I feel like a lot of the fun of this show is going to be those disagreements that I have with my guests.
If that happens, I'm going to switch my list, like completely flip it.
I literally switched something on my list right before you walked in. I was doing this right up till the end.
Okay.
Yeah, these, I think this is going to be a fun list to do because it is like a very standard top 10. And these, I feel like these have been the 10.
Oh, these have been the 10 for months now.
Yeah.
Everyone said it was these.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is a really great Best Picture lineup this year.
It's a great one. I mean, last year was good, too. The year before was terrible.
Yeah.
It was kind of really bad. But this is one of the best I've seen in a long time.
Definitely.
So I'm excited.
I actively enjoyed watching every movie here.
Oh, yeah. There was only one I didn't enjoy.
Uh-oh.
But the rest of them, I was like, these are good, and I understand why they're here.
Yeah, and I think, vast majority of this list is my top 10 of the year.
Oh,
so
100%.
I'm very happy with this list. I'm very excited to get into it.
Yeah.
Should we just get started?
Let's do it.
All right. Do you want to go first with your number 10?
I can go first with my number 10.
I have a feeling I know what it is.
Oh, you totally know what it is.
I totally know what it is.
My number 10 is Maestro.
Ooh.
Okay. Are you going to say yours?
My number 10 is also Maestro.
Oh, let's go.
Let's go.
Okay. I don't like Maestro, and this has been a controversial opinion. A lot of people have come at me for my opinion on Maestro. Oh, man, I don't like it.
You've been attacked for
I've literally been attacked by multiple people. Like
Maestro Hive?
Maestro Hive is real, and they're coming for me.
Oh, gosh.
Here's what I'll say that's good. Very pretty.
Very
pretty. So pretty. Oh, my God. It's really beautiful. It's probably the best black and white filmmaking of the year with a lot of black and white filmmaking.
Even agree with that.
Yeah, because Poor Things, The Iron Claw, Oppenheimer, they all did black and white filmmaking, and I think Maestro kind of takes the cake there. And the acting is not bad. Carey Mulligan's great.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper's good, too. Oh, that's it, though. I really had a hard time with the story. It's not a Leonard Bernstein biopic, in my opinion. No.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Like, why did you want to make this movie exactly? Like, it's all about Bernstein's marriage. And his music is barely talked about. And when it is, it's just in the background.
Yeah.
And I just didn't really find that interesting. I felt like I didn't know anything more about Leonard Bernstein than I did going in. I didn't feel like I gained any knowledge beside that he had a rocky marriage.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I would agree with all of that. I definitely would say I liked it a bit more than you just because, you know, I'm generous.
You're generous.
I like everything I watch. That's not a problem.
I like most of it.
Yeah. I have this sitting comfortably at a 3.5 out of 5 on Letterboxd right now.
I would say Sorry.
No, I think the first 30 minutes where it's just like all black and white and it is mainly about like Leonard Bernstein, I feel like being Leonard Bernstein, yes, more than just the relationships. I'd love that.
Oh, it's far and away the best part of the movie. Yeah.
And I definitely think like just off of that alone, absolutely does deserve to be here with these others. I do think it takes a bit of a dive.
Yeah.
I think I agree with you. I didn't know anything about Leonard Bernstein really going in, mm-hmm, and I kind of wanted to.
Yeah, me too.
And I think like I'm okay that I didn't come away knowing that much. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel that was in place of like a greater mm-hmm, like they didn't sacrifice traditional biopic formula for something better.
Yeah, right.
It was just kind of, I don't know, it meandered a little bit.
It meandered a lot, and then it was like, oh, Bernstein's rock bottom was kissing boys.
Oh, no.
That felt a little bit Bohemian Rhapsody-ish, you know? But, it, again, pretty, well-acted. Beautiful. Well-directed, too.
Definitely. Well, yeah. I think, like, compared to A Star Is Born, I think, for Bradley Cooper, it's definitely a step up.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It feels much more like he did come into this with a vision.
Yeah.
I don't know if he executed that vision perfectly, or maybe he did, and it's just that the vision isn't the great. I don't know.
I think that's what it is. He executed it very well. It's just what it was wasn't
right.
Very good.
I think those black and white scenes early on are amazing. I think the conducting scene is
fabulous.
That one's
very good too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But those are like bookends, you know, and there's so much in the middle.
And I think like Bradley Cooper, props to him. I do think he's doing a very good job here.
Yeah. I'm
not upset that he's falling out of the best actor conversation.
Neither. Me neither.
And Carey Mulligan definitely, I don't think, is in there either.
She's also, they're both good.
They're both really
good. So clearly neither of them are the number one choice there.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously Annette Bening and Nyad, but
obviously
and Coleman Domingo and Rustin, but we're moving on.
No, it's Annette Bening in both categories.
In both categories, yeah.
All right, I'll move on to my number 9.
Yeah, do your number 9.
Is this your number 9? Is American Fiction your number 9?
No, it's not.
It's not. Ooh.
Okay, interesting.
Uh-oh, disagreement. Uh-oh.
Okay.
All right, so
I get it.
Yes, we've talked about American Fiction a lot, and I'm going to say the thing that I have said so many times. It is an amazing, brilliant 4.5-star satire sandwiched in between, kind of, to be honest, a fairly middle-of-the-road family drama.
That's 100% what it is. It's so clearly two movies that don't have a through line connecting each other, and one of them feels really unique, really fresh, really fun, and the other is fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's not bad.
It's got Sterling K. Brown.
It does have Sterling K. Brown.
It's fun.
You know, Academy Award-nominated Sterling K. Brown for Best Supporting Actor in American Fiction.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Wright's great. I'd love to see him in a leading role because I feel like he never gets those.
And I'm happy he's getting the recognition because I do.
Me too.
This performance isn't very showy.
No, it's not.
It's really
it's subtle,
but it's amazing.
Yes.
I think the way he communicates this, really the dialogue, I think, is like definitely the strongest part. Writing is just really, really witty, funny.
It's really funny.
Laughed out loud several times.
There was a guy in my theater behind me who was laughing so loudly at every little joke, and I was like, cool.
And it didn't bother you.
No, I thought it was fun.
A sign that it is genuinely deserving of that.
Yes.
Also, it shows promise, I think, in some aspects, and then doesn't. Like, the one I'm thinking of is when he first sits down to write the book.
Yes.
And you have, like, Keith David, like, in the whole...
I loved that part.
I love that so much.
And then they just
never
did it again. But I loved that part.
And it was amazing. And I was like, whoa, this is what this is?
Right.
And I was so on board for that. And then it just doesn't do that
anymore. It is a little disappointing because it's... I think part of it is that the trailers and advertisements did not show any of that second side that's family drama. It was almost all the satire, which gets butts in seats. But then it's like, oh, I'm sitting through this part, but I really want to be watching, you know, the book, the satire. And, you know, half of the movie isn't that.
Right. I think also the ending.
Crazy.
I'm a little mixed on the ending.
I do too.
I don't know if I'd say it's too ambitious for its own good.
It's clever.
But it kind of feels a little unresolved by the end. Like,
yes.
I know that's the point.
That's the point.
Did get a laugh out of me, though.
Yes. Yeah. It got my parents were so confused, which is funny.
Yeah. How do you think it compares in the Best Picture lineup?
So it's number...
Where is it on your list?
Six for me.
Number six for me.
I really, like, I it has its flaws. It's far from a perfect movie. I just really enjoyed it, though.
Yeah.
I thought the fun, good parts outweighed the bit slow parts enough. And those parts were still fine for me to overall rank it higher than some of the other nominees. It is pretty middle of the road in terms of these nominees, but it's good. Like, it's a very good movie.
I think one thing I'd really say, for a movie that is so, like, overtly, like, political commentary, mm-hmm. social commentary, satire, like, it doesn't... I feel like a lot of movies either try to hide that or they don't go all the way with it.
Yeah.
This is doing that full force.
Yes.
And it's doing it so well that you are entertained by
right,
it.
Right, right. God,
like, when, I wanted more of
when
it.
When he's, like, talking to the publishers and, like, she has the Ruth Bader Ginsburg posters and stuff, and they're talking about the do-rag, it's so funny.
It's so funny.
It's such this, like, progressivism that's not real, and like, faux progressivism that we're starting to see more and more and more in real life kind of imagined here, and it's really good.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Do you wanna get onto your number 9?
Yeah, my number 9 is Zone of Interest.
Ooh.
But this is okay. I want to preface in that this is just in terms of how much I enjoyed them, and not really whether I think they're deserving, because I do think Zone of Interest as a work of art is more deserving than some of the later ones. But in terms of my enjoyment, I think some of it was me going into the movie expecting a movie, which I shouldn't have. Because here's the thing, it's a fantastic perspective into the lives of literal Nazis, which I feel like we don't get a lot. Like, seeing the owners of Auschwitz is really poignant. And the movie's, the film's best moments come from a lot of, like, the throwaway lines.
Yeah.
There's a conversation between Sandra Hüller's character, Hedwig, and her mother about, like, what happened to the woman who her mother used to clean for and whether she's in Auschwitz or not, which is, like, harrowing. There's that scene where the brother puts his younger brother in the greenhouse and pretends to gas him. That's horrifying. Yeah. There's a lot of really strong, horrifying moments. And, of course, the sound design is impeccable.
Yes.
I think my biggest problem was that those poignant moments don't happen enough, almost. I feel like there's a lot of dead space where we're just watching them in a meeting, and it's like, okay, but I do like the ending. I like the vibe. But, it, like, obviously, it's hard to say this is a movie I enjoy, you know? It's good, though.
Yeah,
you know?
This is my number 8. This is next up for me.
Okay, cool.
The reason it is that low is just it's so hard to watch.
Yes, yes.
And weirdly, I did want to see it again because I did want to know, like, because I went into this without, like, even seeing a trailer. Like, I'd heard a lot of buzz.
Yes.
But I didn't know that it was going to be this. And honestly, I do think that hurt the experience a little.
Same for me.
Because it took a while for me to figure out, oh, it's not a narrative. It's not 100%. A movie. It's just this concept being executed really well. And so that did make it very tough to watch, one, because of just what it is, but two, it being nothing more than that.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to see it again. I might try to. I haven't stopped thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. It's been, like, a while since I saw it. I saw it, like, a month ago.
Wow.
It has not left my head. I think a lot of that is the sound design.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's so horrifying.
Is it up for sound design?
It's up for sound. Okay. And I do think Oppenheimer's going to win.
It probably will.
And I wouldn't be I might even be rooting for Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, if this won, I would be so happy.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is the standout aspect here. Coupled maybe with the direction from Jonathan Glazer, which is amazing. So happy
incredible.
He's up.
He absolutely deserves that.
I think, like, the choice to have all of that cinematography be so, like, stripped back,
it's
flat,
it's very static. It's just, you know.
It goes such a long way towards, like, because you're with these people the whole movie.
Yes.
You never feel an ounce of sympathy for anybody at all.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Having to stick with them at a distance, and then, like, every so often you just hear, like, these horrifying screams in the background.
Yeah.
It just paints such a brutal picture, and I love that.
But it's I like didn't enjoy it. It's like I'm held against my will for an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? which is
the
great.
Scene when they're like discussing like the gas chambers and like the mechanics of it, and it's rough. Such like a casual technical
that's
conversation.
What it is how casual
there
is
no emotion there at
the
all.
The kids are just playing with teeth for
yeah.
the fun of it. You
yeah,
know? Crazy.
So I do think, like, I do agree with you. I think, I can't put it any higher than 8 just because I don't know. It's hard to watch. And I haven't stopped thinking about it, but it's not in the, oh my gosh, this is my favorite thing ever. It's in the, oh crap. Wow.
Yeah.
But I'm so happy it's here. I know that like maybe a month or two ago, this was the 10 slot for Best Picture and like Color Purple could have squeaked in.
That would have been crazy.
That would have been wild.
That would have been crazy.
No, I'm really happy this is here. And I'm happy also that it's getting a little more recognition because its limited release was so limited. I had to go into
so
New York City
long
to see this.
To get a wide release.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it until, 4 days ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just took that long to get
here. Took that long.
Yeah. All right. All so right. We haven't hit your number 8. So
no,
do you want to
hit my number 8?
Yeah, you want to go again? What's your number 8?
It's Barbie.
Oh.
It's Barbie. this one's, I'm scared to talk
You're
about
scared
this
to talk
one.
About
I'm scared
this.
To talk about this one. Barbie is a very, very fun time. You know, I watched it with my friends in a crowded theater on opening night, and that was a great time. It is far from perfect. I can't help but think about the much too long car commercial inserted into the middle of the movie. I honestly don't really like a lot of the they're in the human world sections. I don't like Will Ferrell. It feels a little surface level thematically compared to some of the other films that I have higher on this list. It's not bad by any means. It's so much fun. Obviously, I'm Just Ken is so much fun.
Legendary.
Ryan Gosling's great. Margot Robbie, also great. You know, at the end of the day, it does feel a little bit too much of a, it's a fun summer blockbuster. It's a fun summer blockbuster.
It is.
You know?
Yeah.
10 years ago, I don't think this would have been here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to fight you on this.
Okay, that's
this
fine.
This is our first big fight.
Yeah,
really.
Okay.
This is my number 3.
Whoa.
I have Barbie at 3.
Whoa, okay.
Yes, and it was actually at my number 2, and then I last minute switched my 2 and 3.
Okay.
This is the most fun I would say I had at the movies all year.
Okay.
Which is crazy because I saw Across the Spider-Verse like 5-6 times.
Yeah.
My favorite thing ever.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So
that's my favorite.
So
of the
mad
year,
that that's not.
It's my favorite.
I want to talk about that today.
I would also like to talk about that.
No, Barbie is so much fun, and I think it is the perfect blend of being a very accessible summer blockbuster that kind of anyone can enjoy, but being on a higher level, I would say. I think hit you over the head with this social commentary. It is so smart with the way it tackles just everything it's tackling, just like gender roles, all of that. Yeah. I think it does it in a way that is rewatchable.
Yes.
And where it, not like you're like, because I do think people who weren't going to go see Barbie, like because they like disagree with its messaging or whatever, like those people, I don't think they're going to have a change of heart watching it.
No.
But I do think it's doing it in such a fun way. Like, the I'm Just Ken scene. Like, that is...
Yeah. Oh, it's a good time.
Oh, my gosh.
It's such a good time.
So much fun. I think it's just doing everything in a way where you can just be on its wavelength and have a good time with it. But it is saying what it means to say very well. I don't know. I might honestly put it as my screenplay of the year. Honestly. I think I just... you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. I think it is just so smart with the way that it does everything, and it builds this whole Barbie land.
Yeah.
And I'm frustrated that it's not up for original screenplay, that they just saw it and were like, yeah, Barbie adapted.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know. I think Margot Robbie is amazing. Mm-hmm. I think, like, I don't see anybody else pulling off that role.
No.
I think Ryan Gosling... He is easily one of my favorite performances.
He is great.
Absolutely steals every scene he's in.
When probably the hardest I've laughed in the theater is the sublime.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's so funny.
Just every single thing that comes out of this man's mouth is he's operating like 110%. He felt the Kenergy.
Oh, yeah.
He's totally felt the Kenergy.
He's incredible. And, you know, I loved it when I watched it. I think it's you know, mulling it over since then has made me dislike it a little bit more, but I definitely do not dislike it. I still really like it. I just don't see it as good as some of the other films.
Yeah, I think as a cultural moment and as just on paper, the highest grossing movie of the year, I'm so happy it's this.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah.
I would not have any other movie take that slot. No. I just, I don't know, I disagree with you here.
That's fine.
It's okay.
I'm happy it beats Super Mario Brothers movie for highest grossing.
Like, yeah.
This is a movie I'm okay with making a gajillion dollars.
That would have been awful. It's also, it might be my theater experience of the year. Like, my first watch of Spider-Verse, just because of the sheer quality of that, and just, like, mind blown for the whole 220. Oppenheimer also just, That was always going to be up there as
this
one of my favorites.
This is probably number two or three for me. Still a great one, but Bottoms is my number one. Bottoms theater experience is good number one. Was a fantastic number one.
Yeah, I watched this. I did Barbenheimer. I did the double feature.
I almost did, and then I didn't.
I watched Barbie first.
Oh. And then I wasn't able to watch Oppenheimer till the next week.
Everyone was saying do Oppenheimer first, and I was just like, no, because Oppenheimer out of the two was the one that I was like...
Yes.
That's the one I was really looking forward to. Like, I knew I was going to have a lot of fun with Barbie, but I did not expect to love it as much as I did.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't expect to cry twice.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Multiple times. I saw this three times, and I, like, cried at least once every time. And I saw this just in a packed theater with my mom, who was, like, easily the best person to watch this with.
Yeah.
Like, just beat for beat target audience. And I just love everything about it. I think there are, like, the scenes... When they're in the real world, I think they do drag maybe a tiny bit. And I think that's ultimately what I was thinking about when I moved this from two down to three, is like the Will Ferrell stuff.
Yeah.
He's fun to watch, but it doesn't really go anywhere at the end of the day. So that's why it's not any higher for me. But it is, again, very high for me.
Yeah.
Number seven.
Okay.
Is it my
turn? Yeah, you go.
My number seven is Killers of the Flower Moon. Granted, I love this movie so much. Mm-hmm. This is in my top 10 of the year. We are already in my top 10 of the year at number 7.
Nice.
How does this fly by so fast?
Right?
At 3 hours and 26 minutes.
The longest movie I watched this year.
It is. Is it the longest movie I've ever seen?
It could be.
It might
For me, it probably is.
Yeah. It's so long.
It's so long.
It doesn't feel long.
It doesn't feel
three and a half hours. It feels like well under 3 hours.
Yeah.
I feel like. And I think that's a testament to many things. I think the editing, big one. I think it's such a clean edit. It's very fast paced. And so for such a long movie that could feel slow. Like under a different director, different editor, this could totally be dragging on, would have been better as a mini series, whatever.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I don't think so. I think this works.
Well.
Yeah, I think this works as just a long, epic movie.
Yep.
And I think, you know, Scorsese was the perfect person to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, say, I know there's a bit of controversy, like, is Martin Scorsese the one who should be telling this story? In the hands of a different director, I could see how it would have gone a different route. And I'm not going to necessarily disagree, and I'm not going to say he was the person, but I do think his take on it is absolutely, it's just hitting all of the emotional beats of this history that you would want it to. And I think a big part of that is Lily Gladstone going toe-to-toe with DiCaprio, with De Niro, who are both giving very, very good performances.
And not only does she hold her own, she rises above.
Totally. She is the standout here.
Yes, she's the standout.
And I think that is so important for the story to have her character be the one who you're really connecting with. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so effective. Again, like Zone of Interest, I have not stopped thinking about it.
Me neither.
I was scared to watch it again because I did think it was going to drag a little. I watched it again. It flew by.
Wow, you watched it? Okay.
I watched it twice and it flew by both times.
Yeah.
I'm just stunned by that because I feel like for something at this level with this scale to not only be digestible, but I don't know if I'd call it entertaining. I feel like that's maybe not the best word to use for a story like this. But yeah, definitely, like, easily one of the best movies of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you have to say?
It's number two for me.
Number two. Oh, I'm so sorry.
This was incredible. I thought it was incredible. Of course, the performances, DiCaprio, in my opinion, snubbed for best actor. I thought he really was giving 110%. Lily Gladstone.
But Riley, Rustin.
I forgot about Rustin. No. Lily Gladstone is incredible. She's the best actress. She's phenomenal. And De Niro, he's De Niro, but he's really good at De Niro.
He's Robert De Niro.
And, you know, Jesse Plemons shows up and he's great. Brendan Fraser does his thing. It's really funny.
That's why I have this 7 and not 2 is because of Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser is so funny.
What? He's so out of place.
No, that's the point, though.
I know.
That's the point.
I don't know. I couldn't get on board with it.
Besides the Brendan Fraser, it's just such a strong narrative. It's so poignant. It's so powerful. And the best part, not best part, but what makes it so strong is that it's real, you know?
Yeah.
You have to grapple with the fact that all of this actually happened. And DiCaprio is at his most disgusting, you know? He does love that money, sir. And it's really gross how little he cares for anyone around him. It's beautiful. It's really good. And in terms of talking about the director and whether Scorsese was the correct one, I agree with you in that I'm not going to say he's definitive, you know, but he is acutely aware that it's not his story to tell. I think that's the whole,
ending
of the ending. I loved the ending.
One of the best endings
of the ending. Oh yeah.
So good.
I loved the ending. He's acutely aware that this isn't his story to tell. He's acutely aware that he's almost leaning into the true crime genre.
Yeah.
The ending is, you know, a self-indictment of Scorsese, but also of true crime as a whole. I loved Killers. I was blown away. I agree with you in that, how fast it went.
Yeah, I think what holds it back for me, just from being higher on this list, because I do, this is the first one. This is, like, my top 7 are in my top 10 of the year. I love all of these so much. I think for me, I just didn't connect with the story as much as I did others, which is not to say I didn't connect with it, because I did.
Yeah.
It's basically a modern masterpiece, I would say, just the way...
Yes.
Really, every aspect of it.
Yes.
That's the thing, is every aspect of this movie is Scorsese. How is he able to do this at this age?
Right?
Yeah.
It's incredible. He shouldn't be able to.
Did not miss a beat at all. And
no.
The urgency of this story... is palpable, which is incredible, because it was a century ago. I feel like not a lot of people knew about this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not something that I was familiar with before, like, it was announced that he was doing this.
Right.
And I was like, oh, wait, what? This happened?
Yeah. Huh? I mean, he popularized it, which, for the better. Like, it's good that so many more people are now acutely aware of what happened.
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
All right. You want to get into your number 7?
Yeah. My number 7 is one the one I need to rewatch the most, but it's Past Lives.
Okay.
I really liked Past Lives. The thing that held me back on it was the way I watched it, which was not in a theater and not totally legally.
don't do that.
And the way I watched it, it was stuttering a lot. It was buffering a lot, so it was really annoying. But, man, this one
soul crushing
hurts. Oh, my God. First of all, if we're talking about snubs, it's Greta Lee and Celine Song. They're the big snubs of the year.
Two nominations, just picture and screenplay.
Yeah, just picture and screenplay.
Like, I know
crazy.
that was Women Talking last year, but
yeah,
like this,
I loved Women Talking.
I really liked Women Talking, but
yeah,
I feel like this.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset that it only got those two.
Me too. It's such a strong movie.
Yeah,
it's really, really strong. Like, so much about, you know, moving on and you know, try. It's so easy to reminisce on what could have been.
Yeah.
You know, my parents just watched this a couple days ago, and it was actually, I'm happy that they watched it because it let me kind of relive it and kind of take it in. And my mom was like, oh, she should have ended up with I don't remember.
Tae Yoo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. With Hae-sung. And,
yes.
And I was like, well, no. Like, I feel like the heart of the movie is that, you know, she does love John McGarrah. She does love Arthur.
Yeah.
You know, they, Nora and Hae-sung had their time, and, you know, it passes. And you can think about in a million different ways what their lives would have been like if they were together. But ultimately, you know, life moves on, and she is in love with Arthur. And the finale is incredible, the way she just walks and, leaves her past life.
And just sobs.
And sobs.
Sobs so hard.
And so was my mom.
Nice.
Oh, man. It's really good.
It's really good. This is my number six.
So yeah. We're kind of
right around the same spot. Yeah. I watched this twice. First time what held it back for me, I think, was just like that little prologue when they're kids.
Yeah.
It took me around 20 minutes to get a sense of the pacing.
Yeah.
And I think once I got there, I was in, but I was like figuring it out till then. Watching it a second time, because I went so long without watching this. Like, usually I'll watch something, I'll love it, and I'll be like, great, I need to go back to the theater immediately and see it again. I didn't do that with this. Mm-hmm. I waited right until the end of the year. Literally, because I was like firming up my end of the year list.
Yeah.
And was like, I need to make sure this is in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
That beginning clicked with me totally. I think it is, I don't want to speak so highly of it. Before Sunrise is like a top five movie of all time for me.
Yeah.
It feels like that. And it feels like a more, I wouldn't say mature, but like a more grown up version of it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, it's the more realistic, because, you know, Before Sunrise's whole thing is that it's idealized.
Yeah.
You know, it's a realistic version.
Yeah. I would say it really, the conversations that they have are like so, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just, it hits home.
Yeah.
And even if I personally haven't had that experience.
Right.
It resonates with me. The emotions are absolutely something I can identify with. Yeah. It's just one of those, like, right person, wrong time type things, which never make me feel great.
No. No, it's
not
so
at
sad.
All.
It's really rough.
Yeah. I think that scene at the bar, so good.
Yeah.
Just everything. It's fairly simple in its structure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it doesn't take place. Like, besides the 12-year time jumps, like, once we actually get to present day, it's just some long scenes over a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels so monumental for all of these characters.
Right.
And that ending is so devastating.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The silence of it.
It is. It's not sad in that, like, the characters are in a worse place. But it's sad in that, you know, you have to move on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like reality.
Yeah. I think this is incredible as a debut.
Yes. What? That's what's insane. That's
crazy.
That's what's insane.
Yeah.
Again, snubbed. Sorry. Snubbed.
This hurts.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep talking about this.
No.
All right.
We can move on.
All right. You're number five.
My number five. Okay.
What's your number five?
Yeah. Poor Things. I loved Poor Things. My first Yorgos Lanthimos movie. I adored it. I basically had no idea what to expect going in. And we've also hit like my top 10 of the year is Poor Things. And man, it's so good. First of all, movies don't look like this.
No.
Movies don't look like this.
The fisheye lens. Oh. That's crazy.
When they transition to a different place and it's like this scene
the title
black
cards,
and white,
yes.
The title cards. Oh my God. And just all the colors when they're on the
so
ship.
So vibrant.
When they're anywhere. All the colors are beautiful. And also, some of the best performances of the decade so far.
Yeah.
Emma Stone, Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo, man. Emma Stone.
We'll come, let's talk Mark Ruffalo. I want to come back to Emma Stone. Yeah, but Mark Ruffalo, I'm going to take over, sorry.
Yeah, no, totally fine. Go for it.
What is this man doing?
What is he doing?
I love it. I love it so much. Duncan Wedderburn.
Phenomenal.
Oh, my gosh.
It makes you remember that Mark Ruffalo can act.
I know.
It's both of them. It's him and Downey Jr. after being stuck in the same franchise for 10 years. You remember that they can actually, like, do things.
Yeah.
You know?
And I wouldn't say that I was unfamiliar with Mark Ruffalo being a good actor outside of the MCU.
You have
Zodiac,
Eternal Sunshine,
Spotlight, Eternal Sunshine I need to watch again.
Yeah.
Even little stuff like Collateral, where he doesn't have a big role. Like, he's been there before, but this is really...
This is a defining moment.
I feel like this is a defining moment
for him.
This is
a career high for Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah. This was such a great year for supporting actors.
Yes. Yes.
Charles Melton's not even in the five.
Don't talk to me.
Willem Dafoe
is also incredible.
Oh my gosh. It's the eccentricities
yes.
of Yorgos Lanthimos. Like, this isn't my first film from him, but I feel like it's the first one I've seen where not where he feels like he's coming into his own, because he's been like he's had his own distinct style for a while, and it is always something I've really appreciated.
Yeah,
this is the first time it's really connected with me where I'm like, oh my gosh, let me pick his brain.
Yes,
just for a bit.
Exactly, what is going on in there?
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's beautiful. Also, a very very strong commentary on feminism here.
Totally.
I think it's the strongest out of the lineup. I think it's really good.
Yeah, this and Barbie, I feel like both were like, this was a great year for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And they're so totally different in the way they're going about it.
Yes.
And
completely. This is much more about like liberation and you know, coming into your own. Like, looking at the target audiences, obviously, I think Barbie's more heavy-handed, more very blunt form of feminism works a lot more for its younger target audience.
Yes.
You know?
I think it makes it much more primed for, like, the think pieces and the articles.
Whereas Poor Things focus on sexual liberation and becoming your own person and kind of not being – belonging to other people works well for a much more mature audience.
Yes.
It's incredible. Can we talk about Emma Stone for a second?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Like, the way she's fully able to portray almost every stage of life as
that's what it is. You see the evolution throughout the movie.
It's magical.
It's like, amazing.
Again, Emma Stone is phenomenal, but this is a career high for her.
I think
as well.
This might be my favorite performance from her.
This is my favorite performance from
it
her.
It is. Yeah.
God.
Insane.
Yeah, this also, I'm happy this made me go watch Yorgos Lanthimos movies. I watched The Favorite, and I really like The Favorite.
I need to see The Favorite again. Yeah. I want to watch that after having resonated with this so much,
because
I think I would get a lot more from that.
A much more grounded story, but very good.
Yeah. By the way, arguably, like, I know Barbie's up there for me. Like, American Fiction has its moments. A lot of movies this year were great. Funniest movie of the year.
It's so funny. It's so funny.
I saw this in theaters three times because I'm insane.
I'll just preface, I've only seen all of these movies once.
I saw this three times. And that third time I was with friends at Cinemopolis.
Oh, yeah.
That was when
I saw Zone of Interest, right?
Or
All of Us Strangers, I think.
I think so, yeah. I was hooting and hollering every 2 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so smart with its dialogue.
Yeah.
It's so silly, that dance scene.
The dance scene is so fun. I really loved the visuals of the final scene when they're in that little garden.
Yeah.
Oh, the only thing I don't like about this movie, and it's not even that much of a complaint because I don't have a big problem with it, is the final part where Bella goes with like her
with Alfie Blessington.
Alfie Blessington,
yes.
Christopher Abbott. It's the weakest part of the movie. But it's not bad.
I don't know if I'd say it's the weakest part. I do there is a sense of like a false ending.
Yeah.
In a way where it kind of misleads you and then it tacks on like those last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say there was a better way to do it. I don't know if there was. It's just like on a first watch, that's what caught me off guard a little.
Yeah.
I've liked it more each time.
Okay.
Which, you know, I can say because I've watched this
three times.
No, the first time I watched this, I think it was like, did I even say where this was on my list? I did.
No, you didn't.
This is my number two. This is my number two.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's totally fine.
It's in my top three of the year, and it wasn't initially, and I think it was because of that. But over time, I think the structure of it has just, like, I've gotten more used to it. If I was to point anything out, Paris, maybe. I feel it goes on maybe just 5 minutes too long.
Sure.
I think it feels like, because I'm comparing it to like Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
You have all these other long movies.
Mm.
It doesn't feel more than an hour shorter than Killers of the Flower Moon.
Mm, okay.
I think you can feel its length just a tad bit more.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't think that's even a flaw.
No.
Yeah, I really don't have anything bad to say about it.
Yeah.
It just might be a little too out there for some people, which I get.
I get it.
And that's that.
Yeah.
I think everything, for me, everything worked.
Yeah, this half of my list, I really don't have anything wrong with these movies. They're just like, it's just whether I enjoyed, you know, one
All
or
right.
the other. Also, interesting experience. This is the first movie I ever saw alone, which was fun.
I saw that on your Instagram. Riley goes to the movies.
Riley goes to the movies alone. It's a series I started.
What's crazier for me is my second time watching this. I watched it with my grandparents.
What did they think?
They both loved it.
Hey,
they're Poor Things
let's
fans.
Go.
Yeah,
let's go.
No, that was one of the
more interesting
so theater funny. Experiences I've had, along with like Titan with my father and Midsommar with my uncle. There have been some fun ones in there.
Yeah.
I'm going to get into my number four,
yeah, number
which
four.
Is the holdovers.
Mine too.
Oh,
my God.
We agree
yay,
on something.
Yay,
oh, my God.
Yay.
The most comforting movie ever? Question mark?
Oh, yeah.
This is a warm hug.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. I saw this twice, and I could watch this any day.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly like this is a new Christmas classic that we've discovered.
100%.
It's not all sunshine and rainbows.
No.
Like, there is grief, loneliness, all of that. But it communicates that in a way where you know you're not alone.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
You've got Paul Giamatti on your shoulder.
You've got Paul Giamatti, who is so good.
He's amazing.
So good. Just first the cast. Oh, those three. Those three, magical.
Absolutely.
Magical. Paul Giamatti, magical. Divine Joy Randolph, magical. Dominic Sessa, they just plucked him from the
right
school
off the because he went to school there.
Crazy. And he does so, he's so
Kills
good.
Kills it.
Angus Tully, fantastic character. Paul Hunnam, fantastic. It's just so,
I don't know if I'd say, it's definitely not the most impressive ensemble of the year, because you have, an Oppenheimer, Barbie.
You have
more crazy, mind-blowing casts.
Yeah.
But just as all the essential people in this movie working together, this is the one.
They accomplish everything that they need to do perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, no more, no less. It is very cozy. It does have a little bit of a Dead Poets Society vibe, which I love, because
the way they got that film look.
Yes.
While not shooting on film. It looks great.
It looks great.
It's very subtly one of the best looking movies of the year just because it that trailer gave me everything I needed to know about what the tone of this was going to be.
As a Boston boy, big fan of the holdovers. God, everything with Tully and his father broke me.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That ending is I feel like it's really predictable, but where you don't care.
Oh, I don't care.
This plays into every cliche, but it does it in such a way where you wouldn't want it to, want it to break from that path.
Yeah.
It's just doing it so well.
But I also like that it doesn't completely tie itself in a bow.
Hunnam,
you still don't know what he's going to do, you know?
He just
leaves, and he has no real intentions.
Yeah.
But their handshake, there's a handshake, and it's just so comforting. They never hug. They do a handshake.
They do a handshake.
And it's just as comforting as a hug.
Because Paul Hunnam would never do anything but a handshake.
Hunnam would never do anything but a handshake, and he smells bad. So no one would want to hug him.
Smells awful.
Oh, when he lies to the couple, man. Because that's when you really start to feel the connection between Hunnam.
Yeah.
And Tully is when he kind of drops the facade of being a perfect by the rules do-gooder.
Yeah. Divine Joy Randolph.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. A mother to me.
She's getting everything.
Yep.
And I'm I wouldn't have it any other
way. I would not have it any other way. There's no supporting actress here.
Admittedly, I do think it was a weak year for supporting actress compared to some others. Compared to last year, I feel there were several.
Last year was great.
Stephanie Hsu got nothing.
Stephanie Hsu got nothing. Carrie Condon got nothing.
Yeah.
To be started.
Yeah. No, but all three of these performances are just so incredible.
Yeah.
Together, I think they're amazing. And I think even individually, you pick apart what they're doing with these characters. There isn't a ton to these characters. It is not what you see is what you get, but because you do peel back the layers, especially
with Hunnam.
Yeah. But I think it's just it's just a warm hug.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
It's a warm hug.
That's
of a
all
movie.
I needed from it, you know?
Yeah.
That's all I needed.
Yeah. All right. You want to get into your number
three? Yeah, I'll do my number three. It's Oppenheimer.
It's Oppenheimer. All right.
It's Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
It's so cool. It's 3 hours, and you feel that 3 hours for sure, but it's epic. It's epic. It's the cast is fantastic. There's not a weak link. Cillian Murphy. Robert Downey Jr.'s Louis Strauss. You really can't feel this movie would be different without them. And Josh Hartnett, Matt Damon, Rami Malek. Every white guy ever. Devin Bostick. You know, we had him. Josh Peck.
Why?
He did all of them.
Why is Roderick here?
I don't know. And honestly, underdog performance that no one talks about is Jason Clarke.
Yes.
I think he's incredible.
We'll get into the other, but in turn, this was just the best year ever for prosecutors you want to hate.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to get into the next one because I really love it.
Yeah.
But yes, Jason Clarke and, you know, Emily Blunt and Florence Pugh, also very good.
Just every person in this movie, even if they're in for 2 seconds.
Maybe the craziest ensemble cast, this and like Asteroid City.
Yeah.
Craziest ensemble casts ever, and they all deliver.
Everyone.
There's so many strong moments when Oppenheimer, you know, is giving the speech and he steps into the body. So good. The whole prosecution is really, really good. That's when the movie peaks. Like, honestly, it's the best in his third act. It's great.
Yeah.
It's so good.
This is my number one.
Okay. I can't even disagree.
Yeah.
You know, I can't even disagree.
I think this is such a monumental achievement in every way. And I know I sound awful saying that. I sound so pretentious.
No,
but it's true.
So good.
I am a Nolan defender.
Yeah.
He is definitely top 5 directors
He's
for me.
He's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Like, I'll even defend Tenet if someone asks me to go up to bat for it. You know what?
Yeah.
We don't have to
We don't have to talk about Tenet.
I'm so mad that I'm not seeing that now that they're re-releasing that.
I forgot they're re-releasing it.
I've seen Tenet too many times.
I've seen it too many times.
But I've seen Oppenheimer too many times. I have spent 12 hours of my life watching Oppenheimer.
Oh, my God.
And I've probably spent another 12, like watching video essays.
That's
thinking about it.
So much Oppenheimer.
So much Oppenheimer.
So much Oppenheimer.
So much Oppenheimer. But it's my number one.
Sound design. The score.
Oh my gosh.
The score, which I forgot to talk about the score for Poor Things, which is also incredible.
Yeah.
But the score here, oh, it's so good.
One of the best scores of like the last decade by a good margin.
Yeah. The score category this year is awful. What they chose is terrible, but Ludwig Göransson stands out.
Yes.
You know?
Christopher Nolan's direction here is easily his best. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would say this is my favorite of his movies.
I'm also not sure.
It might be his best. I don't know if it's my favorite because between Inception and The Dark Knight.
Those are also mine.
Yeah. Those are the two that, like, I have loved those for as long as I've loved movies.
Yep.
Like, since I've been into film.
Right.
But this is, from a directorial standpoint, unbelievable.
Oh, it's a magnum opus.
What he does, just jumping around chronologically with the black and white, with the color.
Yeah.
I want to read the screenplay because, like, he wrote it in first person in the color scenes, and I just want to see what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Cillian Murphy finally getting, like, a lead role in a Nolan movie after so many years.
Yes.
And he kills it.
Yeah, he Killians it.
When I was doing my end of the year lists, I said he was my favorite performance of the year. I don't know if I still feel that way. I think there are a good 4 or 5 that I could like toggle between.
But
his eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guilt that he feels, you can just see it on his face.
Uh-huh.
And though, like, I know it's basically a meme at this point with like the Cillian Murphy look in Oppenheimer. But it's like, it's a meme because it's so
good
and effective.
Yes.
The ending, holy God, chills. That makes me feel
good.
Just so terrible about this world.
Oh my God.
The whole Trinity sequence.
Oh, the fact that this movie wasn't even on the short list for visual design, for like visual effects is crazy.
The tension and the buildup and the escalation, because it's those like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's also everything before that is leading up
somehow
to it.
This convinces me that the world might end.
Yeah.
And I knew it wouldn't, but there was a part of me where it was like, oh, the world ends in the 40s.
Definitely.
Like, that's just what happens.
Because
they
just
set
in dreamland
it up
right now.
So well.
Yeah. You feel the stakes, even though you know what happens.
I know what happens, and yet I'm still scared everyone's going to die.
Yeah.
You know?
That talk with Truman.
I was just about to bring that up.
Gary Oldman in that one scene.
Harrowing.
Amazing.
The scene
when he holds up the handkerchief and here you go.
The guy who's like, oh, we can't bomb this place because we like it there.
Yeah.
We vacation there.
It's like,
so casual.
The Japanese people, it's like a landmark city for them. But also me and my wife went there.
Yes.
I don't want to bomb that place.
It's a similar casualty as
Zone of Interest.
Yeah.
What? Like, I could go on and on.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite movie of the year, but I do think it's probably the best movie of the year.
It might be. It's up there.
It's going to win Best Picture.
I know.
And
I can't be. I'm not going to be mad. It's my number three, but I'm still not going
to
be mad.
Yeah, I want it to win Best Picture. I do think it's going to. I think it deserves that. I think I'm not going to come out straight and say it's the defining movie of the year, because I do think you have – it's really Barbenheimer.
Yes. I would go as far as to say Barbie is the defining movie of the year, but yeah. Oppenheimer is a very close number two.
As far as I'm concerned, they are sharing a spot.
Yeah.
And I think I'm, like, crazy that a three-hour – R-rated World War II biopic that is just men in rooms talking.
A billion.
It was so successful. Almost $1 billion.
It's crazy.
It's insane. And like a lot of that credit is to Nolan and just the confidence that the general movie-going public has in him at this point.
Yes.
Also flies by.
Yeah. It did feel like 3 hours.
Feel like 3 hours, but it's like
it's a good 3 hours.
Yeah. The one criticism I've seen it get, which I can agree with, like I don't personally agree with it, but I see how someone else could feel this way. After the Trinity test, you have an hour to go still. And I could see how someone might fall off a little. Hard disagree.
It just gets better. That's the thing.
You have Robert Downey Jr. yelling about all of
this. You have Rami Malek. You have Robert Downey Jr. You have Jason Clarke.
Yeah.
And, like, the Trinity test, probably the best part of the movie.
I would say the speech is the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
I think, like, it's again, Zone of Interest, Sound Design is amazing. The woman screaming.
Oh.
The way you don't hear anyone in that room.
No.
The flash.
Oh, the flash. Yeah. I couldn't disagree more with the fact that it gets worse after the Trinity test. It's so good.
It's, again, for me, it's just getting a sense of the pacing.
Yeah.
That first time, because that was a long day. It was an amazing day. It was Barbenheimer day.
I could never have done them in the same day. I'm impressed. Yeah.
No,
I'm happy I didn't, actually.
I watched a review. I forget who it was, but I watched a review before going in where I could tell that there was still going to be some time left.
Yeah.
It was more compelling.
Yeah.
It was a little more compelling.
That's so good.
Yeah. I love everything about this. I'm so happy it's up there. Let's get into your number one.
Ooh, it's Anatomy of a Fall.
It's Anatomy of a Fall.
This came out of nowhere for me. I was one night in January, and I was like, I'm going to watch this. And then my parents were like, would we want to watch that with you? And I was like, okay. So we watched Anatomy of a Fall, and oh my God, I don't know if I've been as gripped by a film in ever, maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's just a thing for like courtroom dramas, because I also love 12 Angry Men. But this, and I felt that with 12 Angry Men, but this, I was constantly gripped. And, you know, at first you're gripped by,
did she do it?
Did she do it? I'm sorry, I'm trying to remember the character's name, which is also Sandra, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
did she do it? By the end, you don't care about that.
No.
That's not what's important.
Yeah.
What's important is...
Do gotta ask, though.
Yeah.
Do you think she did it?
No.
I don't think she did it either.
Yeah, I don't think she did it. I do think the kid lied at the end.
Yeah.
But I don't think she did it.
He's amazing, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to get into the cast in a second.
Yeah.
But it's really a commentary on not just the French justice system, but the justice system in general, how the justice system treats women, especially women they view as quote-unquote promiscuous.
Yeah.
You know? It's an indictment of that, and it is incredible, and it's so gripping. Sandra Hüller, first of all, an achievement to be in two of the best pictures.
Yeah.
You know? Huge achievement. She is phenomenal, and it's honestly, I think Best Actress might be the most competitive category this year.
Really?
Because honestly, I would not be upset with Lily Gladstone, Emma Stone, or Sandra Hüller.
Yeah.
I think they're all so incredibly strong.
Totally agree.
The hot lawyer, love him.
He's amazing.
Milo Machado-Graner, I don't know, I didn't know kids could do that.
Yeah.
It's like so impressive. It's one of those performances where Abby Ryder-Forston is another child performance that I really loved in Are You There, Good? It's Margaret. But he is incredible in this, really strong, so sad. Snoop. Fantastic. Antoine Reinhardt's the prosecutor.
I have not wanted to punch someone in the face that bad.
You hate him. He's terrible.
But he's so great as that.
He's incredible. The whole movie is incredible. There's this one scene that I can't get out of my head. It's when Milo Machado-Graner's character is up at the stand, and it's the hot lawyer and the prosecutor both arguing, and it just, you never see them.
Yeah.
You know, it just pans a little bit, but you only see Milo. And it's such a strong shot, in which I typically don't care about shots, but it's so good. I was talking about this movie with my parents for the rest of the night and then basically all day next day.
Yeah.
I've never felt this gripped by a movie. I've never, like, I couldn't stop talking about it. I instantly became, like, obsessed with it. It rocketed up my list to my number two. Number one still being Spider-Verse, sorry.
Me too.
But it's my favorite of the Best Picture nominees. I think it's incredible. And Justine Triet is a god amongst men.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is my number five, that's okay. I still love it. I think it's my number seven for the year.
Yeah.
I love it so much. And I'm really upset that I didn't get a chance to see it again before this, because it's like, it's been months now that I haven't seen it. Yeah. And so I feel like I'm losing it a little, even though it's so compelling.
Yes.
I was thinking about it for like weeks on end after. I'm also like a sucker for courtroom dramas.
Yeah.
Even when they're bad. I feel like it's a genre that, like, even when they're bad,
they're at least tense.
They're tense and they're watchable. But this is one of the good ones.
One of the great ones.
So good. just the way that this case unravels.
Yes.
That scene of the recording where they're arguing, yep, and then it cuts to them
Yes.
Oh, it's so good. Oh my gosh.
It's so good.
Yeah,
it's
and so I good. Think I really do love that. Like, you are wondering, did she do it? But it's not about that.
No, that's not important.
And it's like by the end, like after he's made his decision to, like, kind of, I guess, trust her, and to tell that story. Which again, I do think that's a little fabricated.
Yeah.
It's not about that, and you don't care whether or not she did it.
Right.
Because I loved everything about the writing. This could easily win original screenplay.
I hope it does.
It did. Like, I wouldn't be upset with holdovers.
No, me neither.
But this dialogue, so compelling.
It's so good. It was a film I kind of expected nothing from and was given everything.
Yeah. I'd heard so much buzz for so long.
Yeah.
But, like, I hadn't seen a trailer for a while.
No.
And then I saw the trailer at Cinemopolis and was like, this looks really good.
Yes, that's...
But I still don't have a sense, like, a great sense of what
right,
it is.
Right,
and I was hooked.
Yeah.
Full 2.5 hours.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It could have been a billion hours longer and I would have been fine with it.
Yeah. I think the only thing I would say I didn't love about it, maybe two things. One, very minor. Before they get to the courtroom, you just want them to get to the courtroom. And I think if I were to watch it again, I might even disagree with that.
Yeah, because I do
think
it's
even leading up to that, seeing the case unravel and seeing them get to the point before we're in there, love it.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if I'd say that's a nitpick. It's just like something that maybe could be a nitpick. And I think like last 5-10 minutes after court's over, I don't know if there's a better way to do it. It felt like it felt a little, not unresolved, because the case itself is resolved.
Yes.
I feel like maybe I wanted a little more of a punchy ending than that.
Yeah.
That's it, though.
The lack of the punchy ending, and I don't disagree with
you,
the lack of the punchy ending is what made me talk about it so much.
Okay.
It's what really made it stuck in my head, because you don't get kind of it's not solid.
Yeah.
And it made me really think about it.
I really want to watch it again,
because
you should watch all of these again. You should watch Oppenheimer three more times.
Yeah, three more times.
Yeah. It's good that Spider-Verse wasn't here, because I've watched that six times. And
I watched it three, and that's still a lot.
Rip Spider-Verse. You're here in spirit. You're both our number one
in
of the year.
Spider-Verse is your number one in my heart. You're number one.
But no, this is an amazing
ten. Amazing lineup.
Best Picture nominees. I'm very excited.
Lineup. Honestly, like, the only movies I don't really, really like are Maestro and Zone of Interest. From Barbie on, I really like all of those movies.
Yeah, and Maestro's the only one that I wouldn't actively say I really liked this.
Yeah.
And my top seven are all in my top 10 of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
I want Oppenheimer to sweep. It looks like it might. But I want them to spread the love a little.
I don't want it to sweep. I don't. I'm of the opinion
I think it deserves to win basically everything it looks like it could win.
Yeah.
But I also don't want that, because there are so many movies deserving of recognition.
Yes, and sweeps make award shows so uninteresting.
Yeah.
Sorry. And I don't know. I was rooting for Everything Everywhere last year.
Yeah.
But there were some things where it was like, oh, but I wish another movie got this.
Yeah.
Bit.
I wish a different Best Supporting Actress
won. I wish a different Best Supporting Actress won as well.
Yeah.
Carrie Condon.
Stephanie Hsu.
Stephanie Hsu. Stephanie Hsu really
for too. Life. Yeah. All right. I think that is going to wrap this up. I think
that's so much fun.
This was fun.
So much fun.
Yeah. You know, tune in next week,
next week.
Where you won't be here.
I'm not going to be here, but I still love and support Ethan Kaufman for all
you.
Eternity.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, there are some ideas floating around for what we're going to talk about next time. But till then, this is, you know, this has been Pop Off.
This has been Pop Off.
Thank you
I
for listening.
I do really like Barbie. I like it. I like the movie a lot.
All right. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye-bye.